We're looking for a great time in the Lord tonight. Let me just tell you a little bit about what will be going on at camp this week. We're having a lot of stuff, of course, during the afternoon, some free time, playing, a lot of good activities and things like that. Brother Reggie's supposed to be back out with us at least one night. Brother Larry Brown's group will be here tomorrow evening. There's about 40-something of them from down in Augusta, South Carolina coming. Never been to camp. They're coming in here tomorrow evening. So our camp anyway. So we're expecting a time. You pray. And I'm asking all of our folks to pray hard for the youth camp this week that not one young person will leave without the Lord. That's been my prayer last week. I didn't want one person to leave without being saved. It'd be a shame to come through that youth camp and leave not saved. Ephesians chapter 2 this morning, verse 11. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 11. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past, just before we got saved, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hand. Now look at verse 12. Verse number 12. That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens. That's a very interesting word, up-to-date word in the King James Bible, isn't it? Aliens. People say, you believe in aliens? I sure do. Everybody out there is not saved. That's what I was before I got saved. Wasn't a part of the family of God. You're an alien, man. You're from somewhere else. And it ain't Mars. It's from down that way. From the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Now look at the condition of the world without God there. No hope and without God in the world. Verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometime were far off, I need a battery, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. In verse 12, it said that ye had no hope. In verse 13, thank God, said, you were far off, now you're made nigh by the blood of Christ. I'd like to preach to you for a few minutes this morning on the subject, God's remedy for a sin-sick world. God's remedy for a sin-sick world. This world this morning is sin-sick, sure enough. Sin-sick. Sin pitifully sick. But thank God, He, as always, has a remedy. God has a remedy. I want to say, first of all, this morning, this world is sick spiritually. Do you know that? This world is sick spiritually. You say, preacher, we never had more churches than we have today. That's probably true. Never had more church buildings, more religious activities than we have going on in the world this morning. But I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, this world is sick spiritually. Somebody made a survey of the NCC, that's the National Council of Churches, and surveyed their, quote, ministers. One half of the ministers in the National Council of Churches this morning do not believe in the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. They believe Jesus is just a man just like anybody else. One half of all the preachers surveyed in the National Council of Churches. One fourth of them did not believe in the miracles of the Bible, and 60% did not believe there is any such thing as life after death. 60% of men claiming to be preachers, standing behind pulpits, and the National Council of Churches do not believe that there's any such thing as life after death. Now you tell me this morning, this world is not sick spiritually. What is a man even doing behind the pulpit who does not believe in the deity of Christ, the miracles of the Bible, and life after death? If you're a preacher and you're hearing this morning, or you hear it on the radio, and you don't believe in life after death, or the deity of Christ, or the miracles of Jesus, you ought to quit being a hypocrite and taking money under false pretenses and get you an honest job serving, selling Fuller brushes or rainbow vacuum cleaners or Good Night Avon or what's that other stuff? Amway. That's what you need to be, an Amway salesman, and quit ripping people off, taking money for preaching a Bible that you don't even believe. Amen. This world is sick spiritually. False Christ, false prophets in the world like we've never seen before. Over 1,000 men in the world this morning claim to be Jesus Christ. And worse than that, 100,000 idiots believe everything people like that say. One way you know something is not true is everybody believes it. Did you know that? That's right. A lie can go 5 miles down the road before truth gets its boots on. And I'm telling you this morning, this world is sick spiritually. Reverend Patricia, whoever that is, from Harvard Divinity School, sometime back, made this statement. She said this, Reverend Patricia. Let me tell you what Reverend Patricia said. Don't that kind of sound a little bit funny to you? Reverend Patricia. Oh, Lord, I'd hate to be one of her church members, wouldn't you? Reverend Patricia from the Harvard Divinity School. Don't you give me a hard time about women not preaching now and say we're prejudiced. A lot of women say, it's not fair. God's not fair. Women can't preach. Well, shut up. Men can't have babies. Amen. Amen. Now listen to me. God's not unfair. God's not. God is not being prejudiced against you. It's not. I don't want to have a baby. Thank God, I don't have to have one. You ought to thank God you don't have to preach. I sure thank God women don't have to preach. You think getting out at 12:05, you wouldn't be out till 2:30, 3:30. They'd say, oh yeah, one more thing. Bam, sling that pocketbook down, stomp them high heels, and cuss everybody out before he lets you out. I'll tell you what Reverend Patricia said. Reverend Patricia of the Harvard Divinity School said, quote, listen to this idiot. She said, we ought to celebrate Eve. When Eve ate the fruit and fell in the Garden of Eden, she said, we ought to celebrate that. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. She said, we ought to celebrate Eve. She began the process of freedom. Yeah. The clergyman called that sense, man. That woman needs a psychiatrist. Anybody that would say that Eve began the process of freedom by eating the fruit, Lord, that's what got us into this mess to start with. And Adam, her husband, followed her, and the human race fell. I'm telling you this morning, we're not going to cause our problem to go away by trying to make a positive outlook on it. This world is sick spiritually. You know as well as I know. Look up here at me. You know as well as I know that the average church in America this morning doesn't have enough spiritual power in it to blow a booger out of their spiritual noses. I mean to tell you that there's no power, there's no joy, there's no blessing. Most churches you go to this morning, you go sound asleep. Dr. Jack Frost stands in the pulpit. The icicles drip off of people's nose. And Lord have mercy, we need something happen to us. This world sin sick spiritually. His world's sick spiritually. I've had people tell me they'll say, nobody ain't been saved at our church in 10 years, preacher. I'll tell you what I'd do. I'd get out of there. Now listen, if I didn't ever hear hellfire preached on, if I didn't ever hear sin called sin, if I didn't ever see some evidence of God's presence being in a church, I'd go find me one where I could get a hold of some blessings, where God could just speak to me, and where I could feel His presence every now and then. This world is sick spiritually. Amen. I'm telling you what, it's pitiful. Let me say also, this world is sick socially.
This world is sick socially. Do you know that? I was driving up the road yesterday, went out on bus route with my wife on her bus route. And you know, if you drive up Highway 70 up through there from Morganton, you think, oh, look at these nice houses. Oh, these are nice people. But as you cut off into them roads and go down into them little hollers and round in there, you find that this old world is sick socially. I tell you, brother, it's seldom you find kids living with both parents. Even in that situation, many times, it's just a little convenient arrangement. There's beer cans laying all over the front yard. There's little boys and little girls who know absolutely nothing but old heavy metal, rap, music. Things like they don't even know anything about it. They don't have anything about sense. They don't know anything about God. Some of them, the only thing they know about God is what they learn here at church. We see young people whose lives are being destroyed by the thousands today because this world is sick socially. It's sick, man. It's sick. It needs a doctor. I tell you what, I heard about a young man I told at camp the other night. Brother Ken Young, some of our men go over. Brother Danny Tucker over here to the juvenile center in Swannanoa. And Sunday, and I think probably some of them's over there this morning. And they teach classes to 14, 15, 16, 17-year-old kids who are in trouble, you know, with the law or something. And they had a young boy over there. They let him out of the juvenile center. After his time was up, the boy came home. He found his house empty, and they found him. His mother and daddy had gone. They had moved away. Didn't even tell him where they was going. He has no idea where his parents went. They couldn't care less. Right down the road here, just a little ways, 4 or 5 miles down the road this way, somebody come out the road one morning. They heard a noise over in the bushes. They went over and picked up a 6-hour-old baby. 6 hours old, crying in the weeds, right down the street, right there, 6 miles that way. They picked up that little baby. Somebody brought it in. Somebody just delivered that child and just threw it in the weeds. Some time back, another one was delivered in the back seat of a car. That woman took her stocking, her hose that had been on her legs, pulled it down over the head of that little newborn baby and threw it out in the dumpster and just went right on down the road and on with life like nothing ever happened. I'm telling you this morning, this world is sick socially. They bring it in. Listen, they're discovering pornography rings now like never, ever, ever, ever before. That's going on. I'll tell you more about that in a minute. But I'm telling you, our world is sick. God looks down this morning and He sees a world that is sin sick. You say, oh preacher, we're making progress. We have bigger buildings. We have nicer air conditioners. We have better carpet. We have nicer lights. Some facilities. We look down and we think we're prospering and making progress. Well, when God looks at this world, He sees in these $200,000 homes when the doors are closed, mom and daddy screaming and fighting and divorce going on the rampage and people can't get along and little kids turning their music up so they won't have to hear mom and dad fussing in the next room. And God looks down and said, it's sick socially. Not only that, This world is sick morally. This world is sick morally. It's normal nowadays to be immoral. Sure is. If you try to live right and try to stay decent and clean, people laugh at you and make fun of you like you are some kind of weirdo. That's right. That's right. Years ago, 25, 30 years ago, if there was a bad girl in the school, she had a, quote, reputation. They said, that girl's got a bad name. She's not a virgin. Nowadays, did you know it's opposite? If there's a girl in the school who is a virgin, she's ridiculed, she's made fun of, she's mocked. I'm telling you, this world's sick morally, and we're going to pay for it. We're already paying for it. We're reaping. We're paying for it out of our pocketbooks. We're paying for it in our bodies. We're paying for it through disease. There's no doubt in my mind. There's no doubt in my mind at all that God allowed AIDS to come on this world because of our immorality. You say, I don't believe that. That's why He's got me up here preaching, not you. If you can't figure that out, you're not a very smart person. I want to tell you something this morning, brother. That same thing. You say, well, Brother Danny, you know what I heard a guy say? He said, if AIDS was the judgment of God, innocent people wouldn't be getting, you know, old people, babies, stuff like that. Listen, innocent people always suffer when God brings judgment. Always. Let me ask you something. Was the flood the judgment of God? Did babies die in the flood? when Noah's flood came, babies died, grandmas died, grandpas died, people who were innocent morally died in the flood. Everybody pays when a nation gets sick morally. Everybody pays. Buddy, we're sick. We're sick. I just reading here an article last night. And I, of course, I do a lot of stuff on rock music for the kids and trying to reach them, and God use it to speak to their heart, and that's the reason I do it. Now, there is a new satanic death rock band who has hit mainstream on Billboard magazine, playing on MTV. The lead singer is self-avowed, self-proclaimed follower of the Church of Satan and Anton LaVey. The name of the band is Marilyn Manson. They took the first name of Marilyn Monroe, the last name from Charles Manson, and they said this. Listen what the man said. Listen what the leader said. Listen what the leader said. This is the most filthy, wicked, ungodly thing you can imagine. You know what he said? He said, every age has to have one person who's brave enough to stand up and bring an end to Christianity. He said, our whole purpose in our band is to do away with Christianity. We hate Jesus Christ. We hate the Bible. We hate church. We hate preachers. And he said that they have slogans like kill God. They mock religious material on stage. And they say to end Christianity is they have the vehicle to do it. Quote, no one has managed to succeed yet, but maybe through music we can finally do it. He said, we're going to get these stupid kids that ain't got no more sense than to think we're cool. And he said, we'll make them listen to us, and our job is that we're going to end Christianity. I'm telling you this morning, this world is sick morally. That junk started with John Lennon singing, I don't believe in Jesus. Imagine there's no heaven and no hell. But I got room. I got news from the room for Mr. Mrs. Shim, whatever he is, Marilyn Manson. I got news for him, Shim, Shim, she, him, whatever that pervert is. I got news for him, brother. Jesus Christ and the church was here a long time before that crowd got here. And they'll be doing fine after he's dead and in hell. And they're not going to put an end to Christianity. They might shoot me, but you got a lot bigger job than that. God's got a remedy for this sin-sick world. He sure does. God has a remedy for this sin-sick world. Did you know Disney Channel made a movie the other day, and they put a phone sex number in the Disney movie, a real number that you could call? The name of the movie is The Santa Claus. That's the name of it. It actually advertises an actual pervert number where all kinds of things can be taken from it. I'm not about Disney, brother. Listen, when Mickey Mouse turns queer, things are bad, man. Things are bad. I'm telling you, they said it. And I told you last week, they showed a picture with Mickey and Donald, man. Where's Minnie? They said if Mickey trades Donald, or trades Minnie, if Mickey trades off Minnie for Donald, he's goofy. That's right. That's right. He's goofy, brother. If he trades Minnie for Donald, he's a pervert. I want to tell you what. Listen, this world is sick morally. It sure is. It's sick morally. The witchcraft movie has now hit the screen with big hit entitled The Craft. This is an R-rated movie, which is a special effects propaganda piece for occultism and witchcraft. Quote, it is a diabolical lesson in witchcraft where the good witch wins in the end. For teenagers who are seeking self-affirmation and are trying to establish their identity, this movie offers hope that the occult powers can give you everything you desire. This movie gives you the impression that if you want something, the devil will give it to you if you'll just sell out to him. I'm telling you this morning, this world is sick morally. Murder, there's one every few minutes, 10,000 per year in the United States, not counting the millions of abortions that are taking place every single year in our country, not counting the little kids are being abused sexually, mentally, and physically. I'm telling you, the world is not better than it's ever been. It's worse. Sick. But thank God, God has a remedy. I'll be finishing this morning by telling you what that remedy is. People try other remedies. They try drugs. They try rehab. They try AA. Somebody asked me what's wrong with AA. You want me to tell you? Now, I'm not saying AA hadn't helped some people. But I'll tell you what's wrong with AA. AA refuses to recognize that there's only one God and one way to get to that God. They say, well, they all tell you to believe in God. They tell you believe in God as you perceive Him. Maybe them flowers. Maybe a rock. Maybe a tree. You can believe till doomsday, man. Them flowers ain't going to help you. You must believe in God as the Bible reveals God. There's only one God. There's only one way to get to Him. AA is not the answer. Rehab's not the answer. You have a heart problem. Listen, you can take a pig out of the mud hole and you can bring him in here this morning and cool him off and scrub him down with soap. And I mean, you can have him smelling like a rose, man. And you can squirt some obsession on him and everything you can think of. And boy, you can brush his teeth and put mouthwash down his throat and he'll be the cutest, sweetest smelling little blob you ever seen. And I'm telling you what, just as soon as you turn your back on that pig, he's going to go right back and jump in that mud puddle. You know what? Because he's inside. He's no different. And let me tell you something, kids. You girls, listen to me. You young people, listen to me. Listen, you can take you out of, you put you in this environment, but if your heart has not been changed, just as soon as our heads turn, you'll go jump right back in the mud hole of sin. You have a heart problem this morning, and God has a remedy for your heart problem. San Francisco, a preacher got up one night and preached against the blood of Jesus as being the only hope. And he was giving a lecture. Thought he was real smart and cool and up to date. About halfway through that mess of him denying the blood, there's an elderly lady stood up and said, "There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains." Somebody turned around and said, "She's right. The blood is still there. The blood of Jesus is still the only answer." And finally they all joined in and said, "The dying thief rejoice to see." And they began to sing that great song. What? And then they started thinking about what can wash away my sin. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Programs can't. Listen, you can go into a slum and build new apartments and put carpet on the floor and give every one of them a color TV. You think that's going to change? People say, "Well, that's your environment." You go back a year later and the carpet's ripped up and got beer all over it and the TV's busted or stolen. You know why? You don't change men from the outside in. You change from the inside out. The blood of Jesus can still cleanse our hearts from sin. The answer to this world's problem is not integration. Amen? People say, if we can just mix all the races and make them all feel the same, no, that ain't going to solve our problem. The answer is not integration. The answer is not segregation. What is it? The answer is disintegration. That's the answer for this world's problem. Blow it to kingdom come. And individuals can be saved as you run for refuge in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, they ain't no hope for this world. You say, "You're just a pessimist." No, you're just a nut. I am a realist. There's no hope, buddy, except Jesus Christ. You see this building here this morning? There's not going to be one block left on top of another block in this building. Every bit of it's coming down. Your house is going to burn up. It's going to happen. This world is going to melt with a fervent heat. God's going to blow it every bit up one of these days. 2 Peter chapter 3 says that God's going to melt. The elements are going to melt. He's going to burn New York City. He's going to burn Los Angeles. He's going to burn San Francisco. He's going to burn Atlanta. Did you know they're fussing now? They are fussing. They are saying the Olympic torch will not go through none. You know, they run the Olympic torch through several states going to wherever the Olympics are going to be. And they say this is the closest it's ever going to be to us here in Atlanta, 200 something miles down the way. And they say that they will not run the Olympic torch through any county who has a stand against homosexuality. They've already, Spartanburg already compromised, I heard. Is that right, preacher? Already compromised and let them go. just for 15 minutes of running the Olympic torch flame through their county. And Greenville, South Carolina, thank God, took a stand and they said, we're not going to change just for you. And there's counties in Atlanta, around Atlanta, that have missed out because they won't give in. And the rest of them are hunkering down and saying, oh, we're sorry. We're sorry. We'll do anything if you'll run your flame through our town. Yeah. I'm going to tell you. Let me tell you something, people. I may not be the smartest person in the world, but that is about ignorance, you know it? And we'll put our approval on something that God said was an abomination just to have a stupid flame run through town. You know what's wrong with us? We're crazy. We've lost our minds. We think the greatest thing in the world is to get to be on TV for 5 seconds. I seen two guys going to the Olympics the other day. I was down there eating in Hickory, and these two big boys, I mean, they're long-legged. They look like deer, man. Long-legged boys, all muscle. I thought there was some Sweden or somewhere. People said, those guys are in the Olympics. So I pulled out a track out of my... Well, I'd laid one down and went back in there and got it, and it's called That Old Devil. That's the name of that chick track, That Old Devil. I said, I'm going to go give that to these guys. I chased them through them. Oh, man, they're just taking steps like this. And I was running behind them past Chick-fil-A. I didn't run through there, and I called and said, hey! You boys, it's about this tall, man. I said, here you go. Boys, I'm going to give you something. Read this. I'll tell you about your best friend. Jesus loves you, something like that. They looked back at me and thanked me and everything. And I thought, how people is making such a big fuss. Oh, stupid Olympics. I mean, you know, just games. It's just like checkers, man. It's like, you know, it's like Marco Polo. It's like, I mean, listen to me. And I mean, I ain't saying it's all wrong, but I'm just saying this. There's more important things, people. There's more important things. In Lot's day, you couldn't change them, people. It got to the point where there's no hope except burn the city. That's where we've got. I want to tell you this, and you can agree with it or not agree with it. It makes no difference to me. But our country's shot, people. It's shot. Well, Brother Danny, don't talk like that. There's hope. There is only hope in us turning back to Jesus. And other than that, our nation's shot. And I don't got news for you. They're not. Our nation ain't going to turn to God. Unless something terrible. We've got too much. We're spoiled. We're comfortable. Hey, some of you sitting right in here this morning. You've got more than you've ever had. You've got more money than you've ever had. And you're backslid on God. You're not going to get right till God puts His finger on you. And has hard times come to your life. God's remedy is Jesus Christ. Maybe sooner than you think. In 1947 in Chicago, come and get us a song, y'all. A hotel that had a warning. A man telephoned by his wife. She said, honey, I want you to get out of there. I'm worried about you. He said, oh, I'm all right. She said, honey, leave. I'm worried. I don't want you staying there. He said, I'm all right. Don't worry about me. That night, the fire swept through Chicago. That place burned that place. They found his body like a piece of charcoal. He got warned. There's a way out, but he didn't take it. You know what our problem is? We think we're all right. Economy's good. Never had it better. My bills are paid. Plenty of food. You've been warned. You're being warned. You listening? You're being warned. If this building caught on fire in here this morning, if you got any sense at all, you'd run to them door. Run for the door. Get out. That's the way this world is this morning. There's only one door. It's Jesus Christ. Put your faith. Put your trust. In Him. Let's stand this morning, bow our heads for prayer. Everyone stand, everyone bow. We're going to sing in just a moment, just as I am. Thou one plea, that thy blood shed for me. O Lamb of God, I come. Christians, how about you this morning? Maybe there's some Christian people need to crowd around this altar. Maybe there's some camp people coming to camp. Need to come and say, hey, I ain't going to wait till 2 or 3 days at camp before I get right. I'm going to get in there and get right this morning. Maybe you're here this morning, you've never been saved. And this morning's your day.
God's speaking to you. Heavenly Father, Lord, we know this world is sick. Sick spiritually and sick socially and sick morally. Lord, I'm so glad and thankful that you provided a remedy. And I pray, dear God, that you would help us this morning as we come to that remedy. Oh, Lamb of God, cleanse us in thy blood. I plead the blood over my heart, my soul, my mind, my body, my family, our church, the youth camp, every person here. We plead and beg the blood of Jesus in our behalf. We claim it. Help that one that's struggling with sin here this morning to get loose and get delivered. In Jesus' name we pray, and for Jesus' sake. And thank you, Lord. Amen.